Well, Brian said that no introduction from them would be necessary today because of the fact that I've been here before and that I would sense when the greeting is dying down. I'm glad you greet one another. That's really important to reach out and befriend people and to let people know that you're real. And we're just glad to be here. There's one way I do introduce myself. My name is Chuck Cole. And I know some people will remember that and some will not remember that. I just told you that my name is not Chuck Colson. But I am Chuck Cole's son. I am. Because my dad is also Chuck Cole. And this is Father's Day, and you will always remember that my name is Chuck Cole. I'm glad you didn't say Frank Smith. Yes, it's a wonderful joy to be able to be here today on Father's Day. I've always enjoyed Father's Day because I appreciate the father that God gave to me. I have had a blast being a father. I have three daughters. The oldest is going to be, well, I'm supposed to say she's 47, not what she's going to be, because that makes her sound younger now that she's up there. But I have three daughters in her 40s. I have a son in his 30s, and now I have a daughter-in-law and two son-in-laws and five grandchildren. On Father's Day, I like to wear one of these kinds of ties, in case you're wondering. It's grandchildren. It's grandchildren the way they used to look, just like the way some of you used to look. When they were real younger. Now the oldest on this tie is going to be a senior in high school next year, and I'm so glad to have that granddaughter. I'm so glad that her mother, my daughter, was my oldest daughter, my first daughter, and made me a father. And so because she made me a father, I've been able to celebrate the last almost 48 Father's Days as a father. And what a privilege that is. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Billy Graham has said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. That's what Billy Graham said. I like to read things about what other people have said about their fathers because it lets us know a lot about what they have experienced in life. And perhaps if you had the opportunity here today, you could share something about your father. Unfortunately, the world in which we live is averse to the biblical pattern of fathers. But I want to tell you this morning, and I don't want you to forget this, that fathers are not an endangered species, and I'm so glad that they're not. If they were and there weren't fathers, there couldn't be kids, right? Isn't that what you learn in biology? In sex education? And youth group when they talk about these things? Of course. There needs to be fathers, there needs to be mothers. This week there was a major segment on one of the news times that I was watching, and I like to say it's between the weather, because the weather's on all the time. And then it's a commercial, and then it's the weather, and then it's a news bit, and then it's a commercial, and then it's the weather. And unfortunately on this, it was talking about a woman from Lancaster, and that got my attention because I was a pastor in Lancaster for several years. And it said that she had a 40-year search for her father. She had a mother, she had a father. She didn't find out till she was older, like older could be in 20s and 30s for some people. For me, it would be a lot older than 20s and 30s. But anyway, she found out that the man who she thought was her father, her adopted father, ended up being her adopted father, and she was told that that's not her real father. And she began a search that lasted 40 years. To find her father. And through a series of events with various things, as you know today with DNA and other things, that she finally was able to find out who her real father was. He'd gone away in military to fight one of the wars. He had already, you know, had a relationship with her mother, and when he came back from the war, he couldn't find her. She wasn't around anywhere. She was not in Pennsylvania anymore. He found out later she had moved to California with this daughter. But through the whole search, she found her father eventually, and it showed her being reunited with her real father on the news. She still loved her adoptive father, as is often the case, but she just had that yearning in her heart for the real father. You see, God makes us a certain way as fathers and as mothers, as you know, and it was joy that she experienced in her life as she met four brothers she didn't even know she had. And they were all together. I mean, these are old people. I mean, really old people like me, around this table in this house. As she greeted her real father and hugged him for the first time in all his life as a father and in her life as a daughter. Being a father is a God-ordained privilege. It's a God-ordained privilege. And it's a vital ministry that God will sustain. Amen? God will sustain that ministry of being a father. And that's why I can tell you today that fathers are not an endangered species. Now, I'd like to give you a few reminders today, five reminders in particular, for fathers on Father's Day. And not just for fathers. I want you that are mothers and you that are sons and daughters and you that are singles to think about these thoughts that I'm going to share with you. The first reminder is this. There are hazards. Hazards associated with being a father that can be overcome. Aren't you glad I added those final words, that can be overcome? It was just all about the hazards, which they are. You know about them. There are hazards, but they can be overcome. I direct your attention today to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in the Old Testament is right after Psalms, and it's right before Ecclesiastes. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 23. And notice what it says here in verses 17 and 18 of Proverbs 23. It says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." Continue reading here in verse 19. "Hear, my son, and be wise. Guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding, get it, hold on to it." That's what that verse is basically saying. But there are hazards associated with being a father. And remember, they can be overcome. Here's one of the first hazards. Maybe you've experienced it, dads, or maybe your dad has experienced it, kids, and full-grown kids that are now young adults. We as fathers, we might be tempted to be like other fathers. We might be tempted to be like other fathers. And here in Proverbs 23, earlier in this chapter, notice in verse 4 it says, "Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding." Cease this. Do not overwork to be rich. Sometimes we as fathers, we as men, have a tendency to want to come up onto the level of the other people that we know that we work with, the other people that sit in church with us, the other people that live in our neighborhood. We want to be like the Joneses. When it comes, we work our tails off so that we can get rich. We work our tails off so that we can have all kinds of nice stuff, whatever stuff is, whether it's cars or equipment for fishing or hunting, or I'm just thinking male things here, but that's because we're talking about fathers on Father's Day. But we may be tempted to be like other fathers, and so we overwork to be rich and to have more stuff, and sometimes we take on a full schedule, more than we can really handle in our lives, but we think we can handle it, and we keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and suddenly a month goes by, a year goes by, 5 years go by, 10 years go by, and then you're an old man over 50, no, an old man over 80. Therefore, I'm not as old as I think I am, because I'm not 80 yet, okay. But anyway, we're tempted to be like other fathers. That's a hazard. That hazard can be overcome. There's a second hazard. We may fail. Do men like to say they fail? Do men fail? Men, I want to try something. Do men fail? Amen? Whoa. Whew. We may fail. And not only may we fail, but we may also sin. You know that word? Is that word out in your life? Is it all around you? Is it ever in your life? We may sin. And we may fail, and we may sin as a father. And the writer Solomon in Proverbs talks all about these kinds of things that we fail at and that we sin at. We may fail or sin as a father, and that may hurt our children. And if it hurts our children, how long will that hurt last, do you think? Very long or long? Either or. It depends what we do with our failure and our sin and how we handle it. And how we handle our sons and daughters when we fail and sin. But that's one of the hazards of being a father. But that also can be overcome. And these things that can be overcome, they can only be overcome because of the fact that I'm referring to the God of this book in the context of this message on Father's Day today. And I'm referring to the words of this book, which is the Word of God, which we need for each one of our lives. This is a third hazard that's associated with being a father. Isn't it awful that there's hazards being a father? Wouldn't it be nice to just be a father married to a nice mother of these children? And life is wonderful. It's roses all the time. No thorns on our family rose bush. It's all roses. And they don't wilt after two or three days or two or three weeks. Okay? But there are hazards. Here's the third hazard of being a father. If we weren't fathers, this third one would not happen, at least to us, if we weren't fathers. Our children, our sons and daughters, they may fail. And they may sin. And it may hurt us. I mean, mom and dad, let's be serious. Have you ever been felt hurt on the inside because you knew something that your son or daughter did that was failure or sin in their life? That's what church is all about. Church is not a country club, is it? Church is more like a spiritual medical center where people come to get more of this book, to get more of the God of this book, to get more of the people of God that have been affected by the God of this book in their lives, and we're together with one another as followers of Jesus Christ, and we're bringing our hurts and our pains and our spiritual issues to church. Now, I know there's some churches that it's more like a country club. You come and you wear your greatest, and you know it's just like going to the Kentucky Derby, really dressed up big time, okay? But it's putting on a front. There's churches like that. Don't put on a front. Be real. We are real people. We are. But, you know, in this whole matter of the hazard of being a dad, we might have a son or a daughter that sins. How do you handle sin? What do you do with it? How do you handle with a son or daughter that sins? We have to think about that as dads. That's why, you know, this couple this morning, Brad and Jessica, they've been thinking about this. They made a decision to bring their daughter Naomi up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Well, that was a great decision because they're going to do it according to what the book says. Not according to what Dr. Spock says or what Dr. Phil says or all these other people that are on TV shows that know it all or think they know it all or admit they don't know it all, but they still say it anyway. Anyway, there's a fourth hazard that's associated with being a father, and it can be overcome. And that hazard is fathers and children must answer to God sometime. We must answer to God sometime. Notice what it says here in verses 17 and 18 of Proverbs 23. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the ways. Verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. And now here, I want you to see this in verse 18. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. I know there's a hereafter. I performed the funerals of three out of my four grandparents, my parents, my wife's parents, several of my friends, and hundreds of other people that have been a part of the congregations that God gave me the opportunity to be a pastor of. I know that death's a reality. It's going to happen to all of us someday, apart from the fact if Jesus comes back in the rapture and we are raptured up, we're going to die. We need to be ready for that. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the future, that kind of future, that if you were to die, you know that you would be in heaven? That's the greatest thing that you can share with a son or a daughter, the gospel of Jesus Christ and how a person can have forgiveness for sin and be at peace with God and have eternal spiritual life. Because someday all fathers and mothers and children must answer to God. What will God say to you if you're before Him later today? On the way out of here, out into eternity, what would God say? Would He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would He say, you waited too long, you kept putting it off? Why did you say no to my grace? Why did you say no to my offer of forgiveness of sin and eternal life and peace? Why did you say no? Okay? So there's hazards associated with being a father that can be overcome. Being a father is a God-ordained privilege. And it's a vital ministry that God sustains, and He wants to sustain in our lives as fathers, even with all the hazards that we're experiencing. Let's get away from the hazards for a while and talk about the help. Second point of this message is the fact that there is help There is help for fathers that lightens the load. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when I was a young kid, my mother got me into this thing of going to the chiropractor all the time because my back always needed to be kinked out, and hers did too. I guess it was a heretical thing. I mean, not heretical thing. It was a hereditary thing, okay? And so I went to this chiropractor. Dr. Mantai was his name. He came over from Germany after World War II. He became my chiropractor. He was the greatest kink I knew for a long time. Yeah. He's like, you know, they called him quack practice? No, choir practice. Yeah. And he would do his thing, and he would help me out. I was so thankful for that help. It was 6 years ago when I had my heart attack, I was glad there was somebody that knew what to do. In the first hospital I went to, I was glad there was somebody that knew how to fly a helicopter because they flew me to a more prestigious hospital, which means they know how to deal with heart patients better than the first one, because the first one was a little small town hospital. And I'm so thankful there's people that can help us with our physical needs, but there's help for fathers that can lighten the spiritual load of our life that we have as dads. I mean, you stop and think, if you take life seriously as a father, there are going to be emotional challenges, relational challenges, economic challenges, spiritual challenges, emotional challenges, and on it goes. Because we're human. That's just in a fallen world. That's life. But this help that we have as fathers, this fact that God has provided heavenly help for earthly fathers. Aren't you glad that God has provided heavenly help for earthly fathers? If you're glad for that, say, yes. Well, I'm glad you can say something else other than amen. Yeah. Okay, so fathers first. Fathers were created by God for a God-ordained ministry. You know, you go back to the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 1 is where it all starts. That's a good place to start. You got to have a start somewhere. And there was, because God created. It says in verse 27 of Genesis 1, God created man in his image. God created man in his image, in his own image, in the image of God. He created him. He created male and female. He created them. That's why there's mothers and fathers. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, he said to the man and to the woman, Adam and Eve, we know their names. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I was preaching in a church for a couple of years. They didn't have a pastor. I'd preach there once a month, and they had a family in that church that took those verses literally. You know, it said, you know, it says there, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They had 14 kids. I know some of you, your eyeballs just popped out. You know, I've had to do it with three kids or four kids, and 14, and three of them were sets of twins. Can you imagine? Fathers were created by God for a God-ordained ministry. You know, you get to chapter 4, and you begin to realize in Genesis chapter 4, yeah, it wasn't just about Adam and Eve having picnics in the garden grove, because it says in chapter 4, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she bore Cain. And she said, I've acquired a man from who? It says the Lord. God is involved in this whole matter of the family. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. And then it tells us Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain was a tiller of the ground. It would take more than two verses for the family I just told you about with 14 kids. But there's all kinds of listed genealogies in the Old Testament throughout the Bible. But fathers were created by God for a God-ordained ministry, and that's why there's help for fathers. God is the one that thought about this thing of the family. God is the one that thought about fathers and mothers. God is the one who has given us his thoughts on it in the Bible. And there's so much in the Bible about fatherhood and motherhood and familyhood, if you want to put it that way. But we can do it, dads, because God has given us this wonderful opportunity in ministry to be fathers. He created us for this God-ordained ministry. Secondly, God the Father, you know, God the Father, he's the ultimate example. What am I talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. God the Father is the ultimate example. It says in John 3:16, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. But isn't it wonderful? Did you catch those two big words in that verse? God so loved the world, just like we as fathers are to love our children. And not only did he love them, but it says he gave, and giving is a key thing about loving in the family. We love our children and we give of ourselves to our children. You know, until 3 years ago, Gloria and I did not know the empty nest since 1971 when our first daughter was born. From 1971 to 2016, we were not empty nesters. We had one of our kids in our home all that time. That's a long time, and I thank God that it was that long. But also, I thank God for the last 3 years when we don't hear anything else but ourselves, and then, you know, so if we fall asleep, we can even fall asleep in the chair in the living room watching a good game or something or a golf match or something, you know, but it's totally different. But God the Father is the ultimate example. It's interesting what it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, he says, your Father, referring to God the Father, knows what things you have need of before you ask him. You had a good relationship with your father? I woke up, I was away in western Pennsylvania this week, so I had to cut my mail. And you know you have to stop it for 3 days for them to do that? So I'm not going to get any mail till Monday. So if my kids did not plan ahead in sending something to me in the mail, I'm not going to get it till tomorrow. I wasn't thinking when I went away to western Pennsylvania about that. So, so this morning I went, I checked this thing out. This thing, you know these things. Anybody here got these things? If you got one of these things, would you put your left hand up? I'm just trying to give you some exercise in the middle of the sermon. Okay, you got it. Many of us have it. So I went into it. There's a little spot there that says text messages. And there was this little text message there. You know, I just turned it on like this. I went up like this. And I put my numbers in. And I put the right ones in. And it said, I went to this one spot. I saw one thing. There was one thing. Good morning, smiley face. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Whew. I'm going to hear from one of them anyway. So thankful and blessed to be able to have you as my dad. I love you. When a 40-some-year-old says, I love you still to a dad, that's pretty neat, isn't it, dads? Isn't it neat, Dad? Oh, I'm glad you said amen a third way. Yes. Okay. God the Father, the ultimate example. And in the book of Proverbs, from which we're preaching this morning, it's the classic section of the Bible that says a lot. Proverbs is full of insights for being a father, dad. It's full of insights. It says stuff like this here in Proverbs 23 and verse 12. It says, apply your heart unto instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. He's telling us dads what we need to do. Listen to this book. Don't just wait till Sunday. Listen to this book. Get in it every day and find out what he has for you for today. Another verse in Proverbs 23 is in verse 19. In verse 19, it says here, hear, my son, and be wise. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. And so as a dad, I'm to listen to what he says. I'm to get instruction, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from God and his word. I'm to let it process through the sieve of my life and head and mind and heart, and then I'm supposed to let it leak out to my sons and my daughters and then to my grandchildren as I have those opportunities later in life. That's what he's telling him. Basically here he's saying, communicate truth. This is what God is telling us, dads. Communicate truth to your children. Talk to them. Talk to them. Show them how. Show them how. Tell them why. Do you ever see that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6? I'll go there real fast. Put down Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and I don't want you to belabor it for the point of finding it. It's the fifth book in the Bible, but just listen. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. This is what God's telling them. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. What else can you put there other than talk of when you walk, when you sit, when you lie down and whatever? I mean, it's there. He's telling us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to communicate truth. Truth, which is based on God, the God of truth, to our sons and to our daughters. That's part of the help that we have that can lighten our load. If we bypass the Bible as moms and dads, we're not only hurting ourselves, but we're hurting our sons and daughters. And I want to tell you something. We live in a world that's been hurt big time. Our culture is something today. And it's the way it is because this book has been neglected. It's been put in the closet. It's been put on the back burner. It's been forgotten. They don't want it where it really matters. And it really matters in the family. That's where it all begins. I think a lot of the problems that we have in the world in which we live today are the fact that people have avoided this book. I just heard last night that in the United States of America, in 2018, 167 policemen took their own lives. Now, this was on the major news that I heard this. And the sad thing is, we're living June 16th, 2019, and 93 have already done the same thing this year. And they said in this news clip, part of the reason is the stuff that they experience and see when they go in as cops is just unbelievably awful. You think of the horror movies and films that are out there you see advertised and hopefully don't waste your time going to, of what's out there, but it's real life. And they're seeing, and they can't handle what they're seeing. And they give up. There's some vicious stuff going on in the world in which we live today. We have help for fathers that can lighten the load. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, notice what it says there. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. Wow, that's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. We need to listen to the Word of God. It's help for fathers that lightens the load. You need your load lightened as a dad because it's been pretty heavy. Some of the things, that's a fly that's flying around, and I'll play games with them every so often. If I get them like that, you know I got them. No. Okay? So, now, remember, fathers are not an endangered species. They are necessary. We are necessary, dads. We are. Thirdly, fathers have a priority to uphold. And the priority that we have to uphold is to share biblical wisdom and truth with our children. There are three bewares in this chapter. First, it says here in verse 27 that we're to beware of the seductress woman. It says this one can be a narrow well, which means it's hard to get out of a narrow well once you're in it. So beware of the opposite sex. Make sure that their focus is on God and not on the flesh. That's in essence what, as fathers, we're to share with our children. It says, secondly, beware of wine. I mean, I've been around in ministry long enough to know the impact of alcohol and wine on people. And whether people say, well, I can control it, I can handle it, it's no problem. But, you know, it's, look in verse 28, 29. Woe, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of the eyes? Those that linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, and at last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. The whole matter is, with regards to wine or alcohol, and I know they're a little bit different at different levels, I personally have never touched it. I'm a total abstainer, have been, and always will be. Okay? But we need to tell our children about things like that that can control. And it does say be filled with the Spirit, where it be filled with the Spirit and not be filled with wine where there is excess in Ephesians chapter 5. The third beware that he gives to fathers here is to be, he says, beware of wicked men in verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, it says. When you get to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 24, it says, do not be envious of evil men or wicked men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. It goes on in verse 19 and 20 here of chapter 24. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked men, for there will be no prospect for evil men. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. It will be put out. It's even like those that have done things 30, 40 years ago, taken the life of somebody and was able to live for 30 or 40 years, and then suddenly they're discovered through DNA today. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's just what that verse of Scripture says. And we need to tell that kind of stuff to our kids. We need to share biblical wisdom with our children. We need to pursue the wisdom of God for daily life is what it talks about in chapter 24, verses 3 through 6, where it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is what? Safety. Safety. Fathers, we have a priority to uphold because we are not an endangered species. We need to share biblical truth and wisdom with our children. Fourthly, there are highlights. I'm so glad there are highlights because there's hazards, and we already talked about the hazards. There are highlights in the family father journey that can lift fathers up. Do you look forward to those times when you're lifted up, men? And let me try this another way. Ladies, do you like it when people lift you up, encourage you, exalt you, affirm you, tell you that you're loved? Does that mean a lot to you, ladies? Yeah, look at the heads are getting exercised right now. Get all you want, ladies. You can do that right now. That's right. And there are highlights in the father journey that can lift fathers up. Let me give you a couple of them. The first one is found in verse 16 of chapter 23. Verse 16 of chapter 23. Yes, that fly likes this message. It's here all the time. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Notice in verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Highlights of the father journey: when a son or a daughter is righteous, living to please God, and speaks right things. It even tells us right there in those verses what the result will be. The word is rejoicing. That's one way to, that's a highlight in life. When we realize our sons and our daughters are seeking to please God rather than seeking to please man, seeking to please the spirit rather than seeking to please the flesh. Secondly, in verse 22, notice what it says here in verse 22. It says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Isn't that a very tactful verse? Do not despise your mother when she's old. Doesn't put a number there. I thought it was tactfully done. But the point is, when a son or daughter listens to his father and heeds his counsel and makes wise, godly choices in his life as a result of listening to his dad, that's a win-win. That's a highlight. That's a highlight. We know there's a battle going on between the spirit and the flesh in everybody's life. We know the culture that's out there. We know what's accepted today that wasn't accepted yesterday. And just because it's accepted today, does that mean it's right today? Because, no, might not have been accepted yesterday. Suddenly it's accepted today because somebody says it's okay today. That's garbage. That's not word of God. That's man's thought. That's flesh thinking. That's culture. But when a son listens to his father, who has listened to the God of this book through the words of this book and given it to that son or daughter, and then that son or daughter heeds that counsel, that's a highlight to a father. Thirdly, when a son or daughter, notice what it says in verse 22. This is good. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. When a son or daughter does not despise their mother. I was a youth pastor for 14 years in my first ministry at one church. I heard a lot of things from kids. Because youth have a way of talking when they get used to their youth pastor, and you have these one-on-one times to listen, or you have these multi-people groups together and we're listening to what's going on. And I was so thankful when I would hear kids affirm their parents. But, you know, I heard the other side. I heard, you know, through the years, and I still have heard it in recent years, there are those that they will cut their mom down like you can't believe. That's awful. If it wasn't for the 9 months that she endured you in the womb, you wouldn't even be here, kid. You know, I'm thinking to myself and, I didn't say that to him, but I just said it to you. And I'm thinking, wow, be thankful for your mom. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mom, and you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your daddy. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for both of them. And what is a highlight is when your son or daughter doesn't despise your mother. You know, there's times in life as people grow, they think, well, boy, mom doesn't know. My mom is tough. And maybe she is. Based on personality and focus and perspective and all that, I understand that. But when a son or daughter does not despise their mother, that's a highlight in the father journey. And then the last one is when sons are wise in the eyes of the Lord, or daughters. Notice what it says in verse 15 and again in verse 24. Verse 15, he says, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself." And then in verse 24, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." The delight that comes when we have invested as fathers and mothers in the lives of our children, the truth of this book and the truth of the God of this book, and they have taken the wisdom of God and applied it to their lives, and it's being lived out in their lives over time. The last major point of this message is there's hope. There's hope. There's hazards, yes. There will be highlights, yes. There's help available, and we need to share God's wisdom. But the final thought is there's hope for fathers. There's hope for fathers who trust God. There's hope for fathers who trust God and live it God's way. Hope is possible in the Lord. I want you to see these verses. In verses 17 and 18 of chapter 23, "Do not let your heart envy sinners. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." Don't give up, dads. Don't quit, dads. Don't stop, dads. Don't think it's, "I don't think I can ever get through to this son or daughter." You don't know the son or daughter that I have. God does, and you do too. Don't give up. God selected you to be the father or mother of that child. Don't give up. There's hope. It's possible in the Lord. Notice in verse 14 of chapter 24, it says, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there's a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off." There is hope that's possible in the Lord for the dad who does it God's way, who takes what God's word says and applies it to his life. God the Father is the God of hope who works through human fathers in the lives of sons and daughters to accomplish his purposes. God really is in control, and he works all things according to the counsel of his will, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. You know, children may be born with a sin nature. I'm not saying some children are born with a sin nature and others aren't. I'm just saying children may be born with a sin nature. And I know they are because I had four of them. And I also know that's true because I was one of them. We were born with a sin nature. And it says in Scripture, we go forth speaking lies as soon as we're born. So it says in Psalms. They may be born with a sin nature, but when children are born, they're also given a yearning to be loved. They're given a yearning to be loved by their fathers and their mothers. I really believe that's the way God made me and made you and makes us. He makes us. We're suddenly in the world. I picked up the last name. What was the last name I picked up? You got it? Great. Yeah. Cole. He gets to go first in line if there's something to get first in line for after. At any rate, I got that name, and right away I had that yearning to be loved. And I've always had a yearning to be loved. And I believe you have that yearning too. And sons and daughters have that yearning to be loved. And who can better fill it than a mom or a dad? Or a mom and dad in the life of that child? Children might be born with a sin nature, but children can also be born again. They can also be born again. Children can also respond to the truth of God's gospel and God's word, just like you did one time, Dad. Remember when you trusted in Jesus as your personal Savior? Remember when you admitted that you were a sinner? You turned from your sin in repentance and you trusted in Jesus and you received the gift of everlasting life and you were forgiven? That can happen to your sons and daughters too. And you're the key evangelist in the life of your children, Dad. And your wife, the mom of your children, that's the second key evangelist in the life of the children that you have. So make the most of being a dad. Live to please God the Father and be the father of the children that God has blessed you with today. Father, I thank you so much that you have exemplified for us love. God, you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son on our behalf, that we might be forgiven of sin and that we might become born again followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the fathers that are here today, for the impact that they've already had in the lives of their sons and daughters, and for the impact that they'll continue to have. And I just pray, Lord, that we will be effective for you as we seek to live to please you and live according to your word and override the hazards and experience the help and highlights that are there in life so that we might carry on the hope that's only available through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.